Jan Hamilton's going to play a fiddle tune, but not until I read a poem or two. And this is called My Favorite Cereals. Oatmeal, of course, gooey warm gobs of it, also cornflakes, crinkled wafers of baked sunlight, and grape nuts. Gravelly thrill of the grape nuts game, my brothers and me, wild animal growl of those first consonants, G-R, grrr. We chew and chew and come to ape nuts. King Kong grunts, snorts, and underarm scratching. What fun until we're at peanuts. Peepee nuts, we'd say, and giggle, like piglets chortle, like juvenile chimps, which we were, sort of, until what's left is nuts, nutty as us. No wonder people become cereal killers, we might have said, laughing at the 22 caliber holes in Cheerios. Not to mention puffed rice, shot from guns, said the ads on Wild Bill Hickok with Andy Devine as Bill's sidekick Jingles. It was 1950s small town brown cow, Pennsylvania, as if psychotic murder, social creepiness, and fear hadn't been born. Each morning I'd descend the stairway and emerge in the kitchen where Mom said, eat your breakfast, and snap, crackle, and pop, the Rice Krispie boys turned backflips in my green glazed cereal bowl, hands clapping for me, wanting me to have a day bright and breezy, like all those families on TV were having all these years, and still I work at that. Oh, happy days of cereal and mother buttered toast with cinnamon and brown sugar, and out the door I go. I want to give some mention to Tony Hoagland, a poet whose work I'm sure many of you are familiar with. And Tony died in October. I knew Tony a little bit when he was here in Pittsburgh, up until a few years in 2003. so one way that I can remember Tony is he was very interested in titles, and his titles are poems in themselves often. Many of you know What Narcissism Means to Me. And then there was Unincorporated Persons in the Late Honda Dynasty. Still cryptic, I'm sure, to many people. it came out in 2010. Unincorporated Persons is a reference to the Citizens United Supreme Court decision, which held that corporations also are persons and therefore have free speech, like the rest of us. and Tony's last book is, which came out this year, is called Priest Turned Therapist, Treats Fear of God. took me a while to sort of wrap around that one. And so one of the titles I most enjoy in that last book, the title is Cause of Death, Fox News. And I'm going to read just the opening lines from that. Toward the end, he sat on the back porch, sweeping his binoculars back and forth over the dry scrub brush, certain he saw Mexicans moving through the creosote and sage while the TV commentators kept pouring gasoline on his anxiety and rage. Okay. Oh, wait, I had something else just to mention briefly, because thank you very much, by the way, for doing this again, and thank you to White Whale. And you said you invited us to say something about our friendship with the Bill of Rights. So it made me remember that when I first began writing and sort of taking it seriously. I was in my 20s. I was in the United States Air Force, of all organizations to be in, and I knew some people who, I got to know some people who were Vietnam veterans against the war, and they said, Mike, you know what you ought to do? You ought to publish an underground newspaper, so-called underground. People did that in those days at military bases. So that's what I did, and that's how I began writing. And there were some federal court decisions from that era that protected my right to do that in my civilian time when I wasn't in uniform on the base. So thank you, Bill of Rights. And I've been reading a lot of Tom Paine, which comes up in this context. everybody knows a little bit, or at least knows the name Tom Paine. And the second great work that he wrote when he was in Europe, after writing Common Sense, which is credited by many people with leading directly to the Declaration of Independence, and people say Paine is the father of the American Revolution. He's kind of under-acknowledged, I think, and many people think. George Washington said of Tom Paine, no one has ever changed the world more by what he wrote. after the revolution, he went to Europe, was in France, and then went to England, where is his home country. He wrote Rights of Man in London, mostly in 1791, and 92, he was defending the French Revolution before it went off the tracks. Interesting, he was pretty much a conservative in the context of France and the French Revolution, the only one of only two non-French people who was a member of the French National Assembly. So Rights of Man, among other things, says, we ought to overthrow the king. So the prime minister at that time was a guy named William Pitt the Younger. our town happens to be named for him. And he wasn't real pleased with the stir, the furor that was created by this publication. There was widespread divisiveness, probably that makes what we experience now as divisiveness look like child's play. Paine was hung in effigy a couple of hundred times, stoned, barely escaped with his life. But what takes me to this little ditty of a poem that I wrote, he got out of London in September 1792. He went to a dinner party at William Blake's house. He was friends with William Blake, the great poet and artist that we all kind of know something about, Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright. And Blake said to Paine, you must not go home or you are a dead man. Blake had word that that Pitt had put out an arrest warrant on Paine for seditious libel, which was a hanging offense. That was before there was anything like a Bill of Rights. Anyway, I really tried to make this brief. But anyway, so Paine left that night, went to Dover, caught a boat to Calais, and reputedly an officer showed up 20 minutes after the boat left with an arrest warrant. He was tried in absentia a couple of months later. In other words, they tried him even though he wasn't there. They tried Rights of Man. He was found guilty of seditious libel, a hanging offense, so he never went back to England, his home country, the rest of his life. So I did a little expansion on what I imagined. William Blake said to Tom Paine, they're going to hang you, Tom, for God's sake, run. If you're dead, Paine, you're no use to anyone. Pitt's out to get you. Screw your head on tight. Take a boat from Dover. Get to France tonight. He's looking for you, Tom. Agents everywhere. You put the black smell of revolution in the air. Your pen sets a fire, stirs an awful fright. Goddamn pain, get to France tonight. So what I discovered as part of all this, there is a fiddle tune called Rights of Man. It's part of the standard fiddle player repertoire. Lots of fiddle players know it, but they don't know many of them. That has anything to do with Tom Paine. It was composed in 1791 and titled Rights of Man for Paine's pamphlet, which, by the way, Rights of Man, historians say it was the hugest international bestseller proportionately of all time, bar none. It was, you know, really sort of set the world ablaze. Jan's going to play Rights of Man, the fiddle tune, and I'm going to fit these words into the end of it a little bit.
What?
Oh.
What?
This is not hip-hop, sorry. They're gonna hang you, Tom. For God's sake, run. If you're dead, Paine, you're no use to anyone. Pitt's out to get you. Screw your head on tight. Take a boat from Dover, get to France tonight. He's looking for you, Tom. Agents everywhere. You put the black smell of a revolution in the air. Your pen sets a fire, stirs an awful fright. Goddamn, Paine, get to France tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you.